you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
I think my son took my notes. They were here. But we'll go from memory here. So when you look at those slides, that one in particular, you're probably thinking, this is a sermon about those bodies up in the sky, in the heavens. And you would be wrong if you thought that. We're not actually talking about the stars. It may not be him. I threw him under the bus. I'm sorry. He did. That's probably a good joke on me there. We're not talking about stars, those objects in the sky. We're talking in this Advent series about people, specific people in the story of the coming of Jesus. And today we're beginning that by talking about Abram. You heard his name there in the text that was read. Later he became Abraham. And throughout the New Testament, that's what he's always called. We'll actually talk about that little part today. He is one of those stars. And you probably know this. If you don't, it's kind of where we're going today. Abram heard God promise blessing for many through him. And this blessing, we're going to see very clearly today, points to Jesus. And the coming of Jesus bringing blessing to everyone who believes in Jesus. So we're going to unpack what this means, Genesis 12, verse 2, and Genesis 12, verse 3. Let's just look at those scriptures once again that Matt read. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. We're going to unpack that. We're going to unpack this blessing's meaning fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, that's very much covenantal language, in the connection, relationship, in this family, spiritual family of Abraham, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow, what a profound, remarkable promise. You may figure out, Pastor Bruce, where do you get these ideas for these message series? Well, this one I can tell you exactly. It's that little star that some of you have that you're moving across your Advent blocks. Anybody doing that yet? Okay, so that's how you kind of mark which one you're on with the kids stuff, is you move the star. And so I thought, you know what? We're really kind of recounting the story leading up to the coming of Jesus and the grand story of God. And it is people, stars, that God moved and used. And let's look at Abraham. And today we're considering the offspring of Abraham around these four things: the call of Abraham, the covenant with Abraham, the confirmation of that covenant, and then the crisis. And, you know, we're covering a large body of the Old Testament here, multiple chapters. So we're going to move quickly, and there's a lot that I can't say that I wish I could say, but we're going to look at this star, and then we're going to end at the celebration of the Lord's Supper together, which really points to all that Jesus brings and the culmination of his coming. So when you talk about the offspring of Abraham, of course, the first thing that comes to our mind is physical descendants. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc. And there are those, but when the Bible speaks of the offspring of Abraham, it's speaking heavily about the promise offspring. That is, those in that line that leads to the promised one, Jesus. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul tells us, in some respects, there is only one offspring of Abraham, that is Jesus Christ. He is the offspring. Yet, the Bible speaks of the spiritual offspring of Abraham. And these are many. These include us. If you are Christ's, you are Abraham's offspring. So you might look around today and say, hey, I'm one of Abraham's offspring. How? Through faith in Jesus Christ, because of the coming of Jesus Christ. Paul's speaking very clearly about believers. So when we speak about Abraham and his offspring, those who believe in Christ are spiritually his offspring, and Christ is the promised one who is the offspring that makes possible all who believe in him to be spiritual offspring of Abraham. Someone asked me recently about the history of the land of Israel, and I began my discussion of that saying, well, 4,000 years ago. And that's sort of where we're going today in this unfolding plan of God. It was literally about 4,000 years ago, 2000 BC, that God revealed himself to Abraham. So that's a long, long time ago. And about 1400 BC, there's an exodus of Israel from Egypt, that great event. Then about 1000 BC, King David rules over the United Kingdom. Just if you're like, I can't make any sense of the Old Testament, well, here's sort of a timeline that helps you. Then the northern kingdom falls, then the southern kingdom goes into exile, and then about 2,000 years ago, Jesus is born. This is the grand timeline of the unfolding of God's plan. And today you're here hearing this. Years ago, my wife used to go to fabric stores to buy stuff, and I occasionally went along with her to these fabric stores. Anybody ever been to a fabric store with these huge pieces of fabric? And why am I bringing up the fabric store? Because I remember what happened is when you got the big piece of fabric, you would unfold it out layer by layer and layer to get the long, long fabric thing that you wanted if you needed, 30 feet of fabric or whatever, right? And I'm picturing God in his revelation as sort of like unfolding out all the details of his wonderful plan and this fabric of what he's doing to redeem people through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that timeline just sort of cues us into that. And today we're looking at sort of the beginning of that very specific revelation about the promise of blessing through one nation and one people, which would culminate in Jesus the Christ. And here is the call itself. Genesis 12. You probably saw this earlier, but did you notice how often the word bless was used in those verses? And that speaks of something, what's happening, because in Jesus Christ, the descendant of Abraham, blessings come. Grace blessings come to many. And here's a lot of stuff going on here. Terah, which is Abraham's father, and his family moved from Ur, which is southern Mesopotamia. If I'm boring you, I'll try to be brief, up to Haran, which is in northern Mesopotamia. This is about 300-400 miles, and then another 300 miles or so that Abram is called to move, and God dramatically speaks here in Genesis 12:1. I want us just to kind of pause for a moment and look at this. If you've done any reading the Old Testament up to this point, there's not a whole lot that's good. It's mostly the story of failure and sin and all kinds of messes and whatever. And now God dramatically speaks. He reveals himself and he's saying, hey, I've got a plan for blessing. And now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Yes, there's a promise of a land. We don't discount that, but the main promise that emerges here is a promise of blessing through the man and the land and the descendants and all of that stuff. And there it is in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. If you're blessed, that's your calling too. That's just a quick sidebar. Blessing for Abraham, yes, but blessing from Abraham even more. that is through Jesus Christ, Abraham's descendant. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you, that is through Abraham's offspring, Jesus and his coming and the new covenant and all that this brings, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. If you open to your New Testament, very first book, very first verse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, what does it say? The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So clearly, this is Jesus fulfills the promise that was made to Abraham of one who would bring blessing to all the families of the earth. And of course, Romans chapter 15, verse 8 speaks of Christ, the one who confirms the promises to the patriarchs. The patriarchs are Abraham, his son Isaac, and Abraham's grandson Jacob. Those promises God made again and again and again, they were confirmed in the coming of Jesus the Christ. So this then is the call of Abraham and the reminder of God's blessing through Jesus. In fact, free verse, no slide for this one. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14 says, by the coming of Jesus, so that Christ Jesus, through him, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that they too would receive the Spirit promised through faith. So this blessing is very clearly that which flows to each one who believes in Jesus by the coming of Jesus. Now let's look, as we're working our way along through the Abraham story, you may, if you open your Bible, realize it isn't all that clean and easy here, because although God's made these great promises to Abraham, he's an aging man. He was 75 when he moved from Haran with a childless wife who's also getting older. And you might say, man, it doesn't look very good here for this promise of an heir. In fact, Abraham was sort of thinking at this time, hey, we got to figure out sort of our own way of approaching this plan. Although he was a man of great faith, he definitely had his own weaknesses. And here in Genesis chapter 15, if we move ahead in the story, there's a covenant. And this is really important because God promises that he's going to fulfill this this prediction of an heir and blessing through that descendant. And he makes a covenant to secure and establish the permanence of this promise. In Scripture, this is what God oftentimes does. Now, we may think covenant's kind of a thing that's not necessarily common in our culture today, but back then, that was a common practice. We're going to look at this covenant and how God used the establishing of a covenant to remind Abraham that he would ensure this promise would happen. Let's consider the scripture and look at this. Still no child now, and Abraham's like, hey, well, maybe my servant, if he fathers a child, we'll call it Milsad, and it won't really be my child physically, but maybe that's kind of what God had in mind. And God says, no. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. Genesis 15, verse 4. And then God brought Abraham outside and said, look at the heavens, the number of the stars. See all those? If you're able to number them. He said, so shall your offspring be. And of course, what he's talking about is offspring through those who believe in Jesus Christ of many nations. And then Abraham, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, a verse quoted four times in the New Testament. It says, he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is Abraham's faith, a tremendous model for us to believe and trust in the word of God, even when, maybe from a human standpoint, it doesn't seem like it can happen. And of course, we'll come back to that verse in a little bit more detail later. Well, then God goes through a kind of a ceremony, a ritual of covenant making with Abraham. But cutting animals up, took heifer 3 years old, female goat 3 years old, ram 3 years old, and he cut them in half. And this is a covenant establishing ceremony, God saying, I will for sure keep my word and this promise to you. If you look down at Genesis chapter 15, verse 20, we can see that God, as God does this, there's a summary statement of all in this covenant ceremony, and says this, on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, etc., etc. Yes, the land, we're not discounting that, we're not setting that aside, but the blessing received through faith in Jesus Christ and the offspring so numerous that like the stars of the sky, they can scarcely be counted. This is the covenant God makes with Abraham. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper at Trinity Community Church, and I would suspect probably anywhere where the people of God do so celebrate it, these words are spoken. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. That's big. That's big. And why is that? Because like that covenant God established with Abraham to say that by this shed blood and this ceremony, I am declaring that I will certainly keep my word. So it is through the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us. God is saying, I will certainly forgive you. I will certainly make you one of my family. So when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're celebrating that in the coming of Jesus, this new covenant was established. And this new covenant brings us those blessings in him. And then there's the confirmation. So Abraham's going along now in his life. God has confirmed that he will keep this promise by making a covenant. He's now 99 years old. His wife is about 90. Still no child. In the meantime, Abraham tried taking things into his own hands. Sarah's maiden is the mother of Ishmael, and God said, it is not Ishmael. Ishmael is not the child of the promise. And here in Genesis chapter 17, as we move into the confirmation, God changes Abram's name to Abraham. In the Bible, oftentimes big things are happening around people's names, around changes of names, around the meanings of names. And for us today, it's probably names are just sort of like, yeah, so I'm just a bunch of letters. But this was a big deal, this change of Abram's name by adding the Hebrew letter He to Abram instead of Abram, is now Abraham. This represents God's confirming of his promise. And here now in Genesis chapter 17, the son is actually named. And though Sarah is well beyond childbearing years from any normal human perspective, God in his power to provide gives the promise that Sarah herself, Abraham's own wife, and now a name changed for her from Sarai to Sarah, would give birth to a child. And You kind of appreciate how God's kind of likes doing encores in some respects, right? Because in the Bible, so often, like big things that God is doing oftentimes are around like the impossible birth of a child, whether that's Isaac or Samuel or John the Baptist or Jesus Christ himself. Things like this humanly can happen. God does to display his glory, to reveal himself, and to move his plan forward. And let's look at what God says here. Once again, confirming all that he's been promising, Genesis chapter 17, verse 4. Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram. This is Genesis 17, verse 5. But your name shall be Abraham. For, here's the reason why the name changed, I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Let's go to verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God's establishing this covenant here, confirming it, what he's already set in place, and he now puts in place a sign. This is where the sign of circumcision first becomes a part of God's people. It was given as a sign to remind them of the covenant that God had established, that he would in fact fulfill his promise of blessing for Abraham and his descendants. Look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. And God said to Abraham, now Abraham, not Abram any longer, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And continuing Genesis 17, verse 19, God said, but no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. Now he's given a specific name, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down to Jesus, who is the promised one. Now we get to Genesis chapter 22. We're covering a lot of territory. Hopefully you kind of go, I'm learning a little bit about Abraham. I'm seeing the significance of Abraham to me and the blessing of the promise that comes from Abraham all the way through Jesus. Genesis chapter 22, what a story. What a story. This would keep you glued to the set if you were watching it as a TV show. It's a spellbinding event in Abraham's life. And it begins by saying that God tested Abraham. Genesis 22, verse 1. And we're going to kind of walk through this and see three glorious things about and like unto the cross in this story. But let's look first at the story itself. Genesis 22, verse 2. God told Abraham, take your son. This is the one, Isaac, who's now been born to Sarah, a woman who's 90 years old, the miraculous working of God. Take this son that I've told you and the promise is connected to, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What? What's going on? Well, what's going on is God, I think God's drawing our attention to some really important things. God's provision of the offering. That's really important in this story, and that's really important for you and me. The Father's willingness to give. That's really important in this story, and that's really important for you and me. And that the promise is received by faith in God. Trust in God. That's really important here in this story, and that's really important for you and me. So as Abraham and Isaac set on their journey to go to the land of Moriah with all the equipment that they needed for it, Isaac's like looking around and saying, wait, Father, we got all the stuff that we need, but where is the animal for the offering? And Abraham signals here what's going on, what God is doing. He says, God will provide. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them went on. I mean, God's provision is what's focused on you. Look at 22 verse 14. This place is called the Lord will provide. It is the provision of God. God provides, not just here for the animal to be offered. As Genesis 22, 12 reveals, God says, don't lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son. God provides not only for Abraham, Genesis 22, verse 13, as he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by the thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. God provides not only for Abraham, God provides for us. God provides for you. God provides the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that is what Jesus is. That's the one we worship. We declare holy is the Lamb. And so it's by the provision God makes of that sacrifice that we go free. Anyone who believes in him. You know, you think of that Abraham story, one of the bits of wording in that is the father who was willing to give up his son. And that kind of language, and I think a lot of times these Old Testament stories are not just the truth of what happened, they provide a foundation for us to be able to understand the powerful, profound truths utter beyond what we can comprehend. And look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. This kind of language shows up, that God has given up his son for us. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? What's the point of that? God has done the very hardest thing, the giving up of his son. Therefore, God will certainly give to you, redeemed people, everything that you need, that his gracious provision will provide. Not to say this is saying that life is easy, because in the context there's suffering and we're being counted as sheep to be slaughtered and all these things. We are yet more than conquerors through him who loved us. God is at work in everything for your good. He's working at everything to grow you in the conformity of Jesus Christ. He's working in everything to fulfill his promise and bring you all the way home. And he's proven it by giving up his son for you. So there's not only the provision of the offering for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, God giving up his son to secure these grace blessings for us in Christ, but also the example of Abraham, a weak man. There's times he's not a great example, but in this respect, Scripture holds him up as being what a great example for us, and that is his faith, his trust in God. In fact, in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, Abraham's faith, this is quoting right out of the Old Testament, we read it in Genesis chapter 15, was counted or credited to him as righteousness. You know, a lot of times when people think about Christmas or even faith in God, they think of it in terms of a you got to work at it kind of thing. Are you on the nice list? Man, you better try harder if you're not. And that kind of theology kind of leaks over into people's approach to God and to their relationship with God. It's all about sort of earning it, and of course you never can. But what the gospel declares, what Abraham reminds us of, is that we are made and credited at righteousness and righteous before a holy God as a gift. This gift is received by faith in Jesus. And this gift is for each one who believes. As Romans chapter 4, verse 11 says, he, that is Abraham, is the father of all who believe in Jesus. Because we are now spiritually his children through faith in Christ. We are justified by faith and faith alone, like Abraham was justified by faith. So I would urge you, if you have yet to receive Jesus by faith, this is that which brings all of those promised blessings to you. This is acknowledging the greatest gift and it becoming yours. And if you have received Jesus, just stand in awe at the grace of God to provide all this for you by the sacrifice of his son, by the fulfillment of his plan, by his offer and sure keeping of his promise to declare righteous each one who believes in him. The Lord's Supper is for all of Abraham's offspring by faith. It's for all who've received the blessing that comes from Jesus' coming and Jesus' death. So if you're among that family, we want to invite you to partake in this sacred remembrance. It's a remembrance that celebrates a covenant, not of a cutting of animals, but of the blood of the Son of God given for our forgiveness. Amazing gift of God giving up his own Son for our sins and our forgiveness. You know, the glory of what God has done in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and how Abraham's story kind of shines light on that. I hope if you're in a place of stale kind of faith, that today you're roused out of it and drawn to a repentance that asks God to help you to seek him wholeheartedly this Advent season. For all of us, I pray that God would help us to remember and rejoice in all the promises fulfilled in Jesus, that God would renew us today and strengthen us in these grace blessings to represent him well, to point others to him, and to worship him wholeheartedly. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how we thank you for the fact that you fulfill the promise of the offspring of Abraham, in whom all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. The one who by faith, in whom we receive the status of righteousness, being offspring of Abraham spiritually, and being a part of your family now and forever. Lord God, I pray for each person here in our own personal response. God, I pray for whatever is needed by the work of your Spirit, whether that's to receive Jesus by faith, to be renewed in him, to repent of those things that are dishonoring him. God, I pray that we would all be rejoicing in you, honoring you, worshiping at your feet. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. Now we take time to remember and reflect on his sacrifice on the cross. And we pray this in his name.